We all have those moments in life. Moments that we've worked so hard for, strived for, labored for. We've hoped for the best. We've put our best foot forward to make sure we have great results. And then, after the working, there it is. The moment we've waited for. And after comes a time to celebrate, rejoice, rest. Take it all in. As a church, we've pushed forward to be where we are in this place. It's our time, our moment. It's finally here. This is our Jubilee.
Well, good morning, Friendship. We are so excited to be here week two of our series, our vision series, simply entitled Jubilee. It is a great day to be a Hoosier today, because today, more than any other day, more than any other weekend, today we are absolutely guaranteed that the Colts will not lose. For those of you that don't know, they're on their bye week today, so they don't play. If you were here last week, we share with you, you know, every year, usually about June, July, August, I begin to stop and think and pray and go, okay, God, what do you have next for us? What do you have for us in the coming year? We begin to look about what he's done over the last several years. We begin to crunch numbers and statistics and ask questions and, okay, where are we seeing things happening? What's happening in our community? What's happening in our world? What are the things that God would have next for us? And usually, when it comes to our vision series, specifically usually on Vision Sunday, which is typically next week, we say, okay, folks, here's where we are. Here's where we've been. This is our attendance. These are, you know, this has been our giving. This is all this stuff. And so next year, you know, our goals are this, and this is what we want to do, and this is where we want to push, and this is where we want to leverage all of our energy to be able to do this. And for the last 4 years, our big picture has been, boy, getting to the point where we can finish this facility and this building, an unbelievable tool that God has granted and given us to. And so as I began to pray through all this and work through all this and do all these things, one thing God kept just impressing on me, and it was a word, it was simply the word rest. And I'm like, okay, that's not from God, because God doesn't want us to rest, right? He wants us to keep moving forward. Like rest personally, right? Okay, the Sabbath day, keep it holy and all that stuff, yeah. We're supposed to have our, but as a church, I mean, man, we need to just keep pushing forward, because that's how God's made me. I'm sure some of you are like that. You know, it's like, okay, I struggle sometimes. My wife has to remind me when something good happens, you know, especially in the church and things. And I'm like, okay, that's great. Now what we need to do next is, she's like, listen, just enjoy it for a little bit. Just celebrate, you know, just celebrate what God has done. And really, as I got processing through it, that's exactly what I felt God was impressing on me. Listen, enjoy it. Celebrate it. See what I'm doing and see how I'm working and see what's going on, instead of going, okay, here's our next goal and here's our next thing and here's our, just enjoy it. Be embraced by the things that I've done. Enjoy the blessings that I've given you. Now, again, that doesn't mean, as I shared with you last week, that doesn't mean that we stop doing the things that God's called us to do. It doesn't mean we stop teaching the Word of God. It doesn't mean it changes anything about how that, but like looking at our programming, looking at things and going, you know what? Let's try to make this as easy of a year as possible so that we can just enjoy what God's done. Not that we're going to fall back, or not that we're going to like, okay, we don't care. No, because my personality probably wouldn't let us do that. But that we want to enjoy, we want our roots to grow deep in what God has given us. And so as I began to pray and work through that, I came back to the Old Testament concept of Jubilee. The Old Testament concept of Jubilee was given to the nation of Israel by God. And God told the nation of Israel that every 7 years they were supposed to take a Sabbath year. And that seventh year was to be a year of Sabbath rest, an entire year of Sabbath rest before God. But every seven years, or every 49 years, the 50th year was to be something unbelievable. It was to be called a year of Jubilee. And essentially, nothing was supposed to happen in that year. You are just to sit back and watch God do what God does. You're not, in that day, there wasn't, you know, the Quickie Mart, there wasn't Kroger, there wasn't the 24-hour anything. And so God even said, listen, I don't want you to plant food. I don't want you to harvest food. I don't want you to do any of that. I want you simply to trust that I will take care of you. And that's a crazy thing. Essentially, God's saying, listen, take a deep breath, enjoy all that I've given you. And so that's the concept of Jubilee. So as we look at 2017, that's kind of how we're looking at it. We're like, man, we want to enjoy and celebrate. We have a year of celebration of all that God has done for us as a church, all that God is continuing to do each and of our lives. And quite frankly, as we've talked, as I've talked with a lot of you individually, as we've talked and I've heard from our small group leaders, 2016 has been a rough year, right? So I don't want to talk about it. This has been a rough year, a lot of ups and downs and sicknesses and surgeries and difficulties and job losses and job create, all the stuff that's been going on. And so I think that God's just going, listen, I think we just need a year where we focus on God and God alone and nothing else. Just enjoy it. And so that's what this year, this next year, 2017, is all about. And so one of the things that's interesting in this idea of Jubilee is that God commanded them to rest. Now, rest is a word that, especially in our culture, is often given a bad connotation, right? So I'm just going to lay down and rest. Oh, so you're weak. I'm just going to take a nap. Oh, I see, so you can't handle it. And that's the idea. That's the concept that we have. That if you're successful, you burn the candle at both ends, you run 100 miles an hour, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 364 days a year because you take Christmas off, but even at Christmas, you're thinking about what you can do on the day after Christmas. That's what our mindset is. But here's the thing, God commanded that we need to rest, not just the Sabbath rest, but when we look at this idea of Jubilee, it's an even bigger concept because rest is something that's divine. Something that God gave as a gift. Rest is a gift that God has given to each and every one of us. And if we are unwilling to open the gift of rest and embrace it, and I'm not talking about laziness, I'm talking about rest. If we're not willing to open that, then we miss out on some unbelievable things that God has planned for us. So this whole passage in Leviticus chapter 25, where God's talking about Jubilee, God kind of answers the question that a lot of us ask, and a lot of us maybe think when we hear this concept of Jubilee. He says this in Luke 25. You may ask, what will we eat in the seventh year? What are we going to eat? I mean, you know, we have to plant. We have to harvest. We have to do this, God. How are we going to eat in the seventh year if we don't plant or harvest our crops? He goes, what? Come on, man. You're not thinking this through clearly, God. Obviously, this is a great concept. You know, this is a great thought, but in reality, it's just not going to work. And here's what God's response is. I will send you such a blessing in the sixth year that the land will yield enough for 3 years. While you plant during the eighth year, in other words, the year after Jubilee, you will eat the old crop and will continue to eat that until the harvest of that in the ninth year. Now, you're like, okay, ninth, eighth, seventh, what in the world's going on? Okay, here, just let me give you a quick synopsis. Basically, God says, listen, in the sixth year, the year before Jubilee, I am going to bless you so much that it's going to be three times what you need. God doesn't say, I'll give you enough to make it through. Isn't that great that God doesn't just ever give us enough to make it through? God loves to give more than enough. That's one of the things that we believe here in Friendship Church, that God is not a God of enough. God is the God of more than enough. Now, here's the thing. When God gives us more than enough, he expects us to be responsible with that. So he goes, listen, I'm going to give you more than enough. And so much that in year six, you're going to have that crop that you eat in year seven, year eight, and year nine. And then he goes back and says, now listen, that doesn't mean you don't plant in year eight, because here's the cool part. Not only does he give you enough for year seven, eight, and nine, but then you start to plant in year eight, and you have enough in year eight to not have to eat that, so you are doubling in both year eight and year nine. So in essence, God's saying, I'm going to bless you five times above and beyond what you actually need. Now, that's a promise from God. In fact, in other versions, in Leviticus chapter 25, it says this, that God says, I will command my blessings to fall upon you. God has said that when we rest, when we accept this idea of rest, if we follow his commands, even if it means for a short period of time, we put a pause on all of our push, 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 and we do less things, God says, I will give you more than enough. Now, that's a crazy concept for us. That sounds like a scheme, right? Like a Nigerian prince calling you and saying, listen, if you give me $1,000, I'll give you $1,000,000. What a deal. We go, I don't know. And that's where the trust part of rest comes in. Because, see, rest, we think, oh, that's easy. Anyone can rest. Anyone can go to sleep. Anyone can not do something. But you miss the component that God is saying, listen, I want you to rest, and I want you to trust that I am more than enough. That I will provide. I will not just provide a little bit. I will provide 3 times to 5 times what you need. Now, that's completely counterintuitive to us. It doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make anything, it just doesn't connect in our brains that if we take a pause from our labor and our hard work, that God actually blesses us more. It just doesn't make sense. And in fact, those of you that are type A personalities, not that I have any idea or knowledge of what you're thinking right now, but those of you that have type A personalities, you're thinking this, that is so ridiculous. In fact, it's probably making you itch a little bit to think about that. Now, those of you that are a little bit more laid back, you're like, yeah, that sounds great. But the reality is that God has commanded all of us to rest. Now, for each of us, that may look different. Some of you, rest may be stopping pushing so hard and enjoying a quiet evening. For some of you, it may be listening, we need to plan out some family time so that we're together. Others of you, it means you need to sleep 8 hours a night instead of 4. Some of you, it means turning off the TV. Some of you, it means turning off video games. Like, oh, no, this is restful. No, it's not. It's not. It may be fun, but it's not restful. The reality is that God is calling us to rest. In the big picture, it's all about God saying, if you trust me enough, you can rest and rest at ease. And here's the cool part. God not only says that when we rest that he will take care of us, but that specifically when we obey God's commands, God always brings in more blessing into our lives. So here's the big idea for you. If you miss everything else, don't miss this. Our resting produces God's blessing. Our resting produces God's blessing in our lives. Now, I don't want you to be like, because I know, I occasionally stay up late at night because I can't fall asleep. And I will switch to the church channels. We have like 37,000 of them on DirecTV. I'm not sure why. And I always love watching them because most of the time I chuckle. And it's like, listen, if you do this, if you put $5 in the offering plate, God's going to bless you with $5,000 and you need to do this. And it's all self-serving. And I want to tell you, this has absolutely nothing to do with us, has nothing to do with our church. This has to do with what God has for your life. Because God literally wants to bless you more than you can even begin to imagine. But the problem is some of us are running so fast, we are running right past the blessing of God. We're not stopping. Those of you that are old enough to have older kids, how many of you would give up a year of great, wonderful work and prosperity to be able to have a year back when your kids were 5, 6 years old and go, I would love to go back and just enjoy that? You see, we run so fast that we miss out and we run right past the blessings that God has for us. So my challenge to you today, and some of you are like, my kids are 5. I wish they were not. Trust me. I'm telling you, 10 years from now, you're going to be like, man, where did that beautiful little 5-year-old go that thought I was the greatest thing in the world? I've got a 15-year-old. And if you've got a 15, you're like, I wish they'd be 20. We always want something that we don't have. And because of that, we never rest and we run right past the blessings of God. So, man, take a deep breath. In fact, let's do that real quick. Let's everyone look around, make sure the person around you is doing it. If not, elbow them, especially if they're your spouse, and be like, hey, you need to listen. Okay, here we go. Ready? We're just going to count to three, and we're all going to take a deep breath, and we're just going to let it out, all right? Here we go. Ready? One, two, three. Now, seriously, doesn't that feel good? We need to create room in our lives to breathe. Some of you are so type A, you're thinking right now, the person behind me didn't brush their teeth this morning. Rest. Rest. Psalm 127, this is a great passage. I'm giving it to you in two translations because when we look at both these translations, it gets both sides of what it's God's trying to communicate here. In Psalm 127, the writer David writes this, "It is vain or useless for you to rise early." Praise God. "It's useless for you to rise early, to come home late, and to work so hard for your food." Now, would you ever think that God would say that? But I want you to see the context. Some of you are like, that is the tattoo that I am getting right there. It's vain for you to work hard. No, notice the context. Yes, he can provide for those whom he loves, even when they sleep. See, what God is trying to communicate is, listen, if you believe that it's all about you and how hard you work, you're running in circles. If you think that your blessing and your prosperity and your ability to do great things in the eyes of this world, in the eyes of God, in the eyes of your family, if you think it's all about how hard you work and all that you do, you are absolutely out in left field. Because God can bless people even when they're sleeping and doing nothing but resting. The other translation, the New Living Translation, puts it this way. It's useless for you to work so hard from early morning until late at night, anxiously working for food to eat, for God gives rest to his loved ones. You see both sides of it? So listen, God can bless you even while you're sleeping. And those of you that are like, I just don't think I can sleep. I've got so much on my mind. Listen, you have to understand that if you embrace and trust and believe that God can give you things even while you're asleep, then you can actually sleep at night. You have trouble sleeping sometimes? You get so anxious and so worked up about what's going on that your mind cannot shut down? I am like that. If you're like that, you understand exactly how frustrated it is. You're like, just shut up. But your brain won't turn off because you're so, you're thinking about this, you're thinking about this, you're thinking about this, you're strategizing, you're thinking, okay, tomorrow morning when I wake up, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this. And you end up, because you do that all night long, when your alarm goes off in the morning, you're more exhausted than you were when you went to bed in the first place. But if you recognize that it's not all about you, if you recognize that you alone cannot accomplish this on your own, and you believe that God can, he can give you rest and allow you to sleep. So that's how it starts. It starts with a belief and a trust that God can actually do that which we think we can only do ourselves. And when we believe that, then rest can come. And when rest comes, it produces God's blessing. So what I want to do, I just want to share with you a few things, four things specifically, that God gives us when we rest. Because if we don't understand what we get out of it, sometimes we're unwilling to do it. So what I want to do is just share with you four things that God wants to give you if you're willing to obey his command of rest. First, when we rest, God refreshes our inner being. When we rest, God refreshes our inner being. We have constant turmoil and uncertainty. We feel like we're out of balance. We feel like there's just this bubbling turmoil and things. And when something is dropped into it, it's like it just begins to bubble even more. And we have this thing going on. It's like we vibrate because we're just, oh, we just get so much torn inside of us. And sometimes you never let it out, but sometimes it does come out because sometimes you get bumped into by someone and that acid comes out that's been boiling on inside of you for so long. You've got that inner turmoil that's going on. And I want to tell you something. The antidote for that is rest. But it's not just rest like go to sleep, take some pills and go to sleep. No, it's rest in God, which means trusting that he can do and provide all that you need. Look at this. I love this passage. Psalm 23:2-3. You ever read Psalm 23 before? Yep. Lord's my shepherd. It's fairly familiar. Have you ever noticed that in verse 2, he says this. He what? What's the next two words? He makes me. He makes me. Do you realize that David uses that phrase intentionally? He's like, God tells me to sit down. Sit. You have a dog that won't sit sometimes? You're like, sit, sit, sit. And they're like, what do? You reach over, you grab its hindquarters, and you force it down. And they're like, oh, now I got it. Sit. That's what God's doing to you. Sit, rest, rest, rest. And finally, he's like, okay. Here's the thing. God loves you so much that if you refuse to rest on your own, he will create situations in which you have no option left but to rest. You ever been there? Oh, this is so unfortunate that I'm so sick, or that my leg is broken, or that my back hurts, or that I've pulled this muscle, or that I've done this, or that I've done this, and God's going, unfortunate. That's all planned. It's the only way I can make you lay down. He makes me. But why? He makes me lay down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters, and he refreshes my soul. That inner spirit, that inner being. For us, from a church standpoint, I look at that as our culture. The culture of who we are at Friendship Church. The culture of very inviting and welcoming and friendly and warm, loving. I often hear people say, well, you know, I didn't like this church because it was so big. And I've said it over and over until I'm blue in the face. Size doesn't matter. What matters is the culture. What matters is the people that are in the building. Because you can walk into a building that has 25,000 people, and if every single person walks over to you and says hi and gives you a warm hug and embraces you, you don't care about the fact that there's 25,000 people. What you care about is the fact that there are 25,000 people that love you. You see, that's what I believe when we look at this from a big picture, that rest and God allowing us to rest will allow the culture of friendship to continue to percolate and grow and become all that God's called it to be. I have never, ever, ever in my life seen a group of people who've connected to the understanding of what it means to be loving as you all have. It's amazing to see it happen. And I believe that that's what God is calling us to do over the next year, is make sure we allow that culture to continue to be cultivated in our hearts as God refreshes our soul as individuals and as a church. The second thing that God does is that when we rest, God renews our will to go on. God renews our will to go on. You ever been to the point, and if you're a man, you probably never said this out loud, but you thought it. You ever been to the point where you're like, I just want to sit in a dark room on the floor by myself and cry because I don't want to go on. I don't want to deal with what's out there. I don't want to deal with this garbage. I don't want to deal with that. I don't want to deal with that. I don't want to deal with you. I'm done. I don't want to deal with it anymore. Rest is the answer to that. Look at this. Isaiah 40, verse 31, the entire chapter, God begins the entire chapter saying, listen, I want to give you my rest. 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 And he gets to verse 31, he says this. He says, in this rest, those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. You ever just been so exhausted? You don't want to get out of bed in the morning. Rest. But it's not just sleep. It's rest as you trust that God's got it. You can get up and continue to move on when your perspective is changed and you realize that God is in control in spite of how it may feel. In spite of the circumstances that may be staring you in the face. You go, I know that it feels like all hell has broken loose in my life, but I believe that God is in control, therefore God has got this, and I am going to continue to move forward, because right now, if it were up to me, I wouldn't want to keep going. But because I believe that God's in control, I will keep moving, because if I keep moving and keep moving forward, then I know that I will walk into the rest that God has for me. You see, sometimes we rest so that we can go on. Sometimes we rest so that we can keep moving forward. You know, the last 4 years, if you've been here at Friendship for the last 4 years, you know we've just pushed and pushed and pushed. And that's not a bad thing. I don't believe that that was evil. We're moving towards a goal. But I think, and we joked about this, we talked about this in staff meeting a couple weeks ago as I was kind of sharing, I guess it was a couple months ago now, sharing what I was thinking about for this next year. And I looked at our staff, and one of the things that we talk about in staff meeting is, okay, what are you doing now? And like, hands down, every single time, it's like, well, I'm looking for some more volunteers. You know, we had like 74 K through fourth graders this last week, and we had three leaders, and one leader got threw up on, so I don't know that they're ever coming back. And I mean, just all this stuff, you know? And I began my whole conversation with this. What happens, what would happen if starting January 1, God doubled us and we had 800 people? And then I started passing out Xanax. Because we're like, that'd be great. Okay. How do we, you know? Now, I believe that God's going to bless us. I believe that God has great things in store for us. But quite frankly, I think that until we can get our feet underneath us and we can get the rest that we need, that if God threw all that on us today, it wouldn't be a blessing. It'd stress us out. And so I think right now, as we look at least the first part of 2017, I think God's going, you know what? It's time to rest. Because blessing's on its way. The third thing that God does when we rest, God rebuilds our hope for the future. When we rest, God rebuilds our hope for the future. You ever felt like it couldn't get any darker? You look at the things around you, you look at what's going on. Maybe you feel that way right now as you look at what's going on in our nation. You're like, oh my gosh, what in the world? You're like, man, can it get any worse? Well, yeah, probably. You're like, oh, thank you. But it probably can. But here's the thing. The reason that we get to that point is because we're looking at the wrong thing. We're looking at what's happening instead of looking at the one who's got it under control. We're looking at the problems instead of the one who says, I am the solution. We've got our perspective kind of switched, and we're asking the question, how can I fix this? And God's going, you can't, but I can. And so until we rest, until we're willing to place that trust in Him, our hope for the future can slowly be eroded away by the circumstances of our present. And we go, we look at where we are, and we look at what we believe our hope and our dream and our plan was. There's no way we can get there from here. I would finish that statement with this: without God, there is no way that you can get to where you want to be and you're dreaming and you're hoping and your plans are from where you are right now without God. And if you believe that, then you better accept the fact that God has commanded you at certain times to rest. To rest. Look at this, Job 11. 18 through 19, and Job was not a guy that you would look at his life and you would go, ooh, he is filled with hope. Because his life at this point in time was awful. He had lost his kids. He had lost all of his fortune. He had lost everything. His health was horrible. And he looked at all of this and he says something like this. He says, you will rest safe and secure, filled with hope and emptied of worry. You will sleep without fear and be greatly respected. I think some of you need to see that two-word phrase, or three-word, I guess, if you put the word of in there, emptied of worry. How would you be today? How would your life change if you actually got to the point where you were emptied of worry and filled with hope? How would it change? Do you know that emptied of worry is a promise that God gives for those who are willing to trust in Him and therefore be willing to rest in Him? God wants to empty you of worry. Some of you right now, that's all you needed to hear this morning. You are so anxious and you are so worried and you are so stressed out and you are so just tied up in knots. I mean, Pepto-Bismol is your morning lunch and dinner snack. You're messed up on the inside. You need to be emptied of worry. You need to be emptied of worry. But as we know, if anything is emptied, it needs to also be refilled. And God says He wants to refill you with hope. A hope that will not disappoint. A hope that's not filled or based on you. A hope that's based upon His presence and His power. At Friendship, we always want to believe that the best is yet to come. We say that all the time. Man, the best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. God is not finished with us yet as long as we are still breathing. I've said this to you as individuals and as a body of Christ. If you are still alive, God's still got a plan for your life. If you are still here, that means you've got something still to do. So we believe the best is yet to come. Sometimes, to truly believe that the best is yet to come, you need to rest. You need to sit still so eventually you can move forward. When we rest, God renews our will to go on. God rebuilds our hope for the future. God refreshes our inner being. And finally, God reveals or maybe reminds us of our source of peace. Our source of peace. We are desperately looking for peace in all the wrong places. We're looking for peace in political realms. We're looking for peace in our family because of how great and wonderful we are, or you know, whatever the case may be. We're looking for peace. We live in a world that's desperate for peace. And yet, we keep looking for it in places that will never give it to us. And so we look here in Psalm 4:8. Says, in peace I will lie down and sleep. Like, how did you do that, David? For you alone, O Lord, will keep me safe. You alone. There's nothing else, no other place that you can lie down in peace unless you trust in God. And at that point in time when you trust in God, you can rest in His promises. And He will begin to remind you and reveal to you the genuine, authentic, never-ending source of peace. God says that He wants to give you a peace that surpasses, goes beyond all ability for human beings to understand. You ever met someone when their life was falling apart and they had just a sense of calm about them? Not that they weren't upset about it, not that they weren't crying, but they weren't stressed out, they weren't freaked out, there was a sense of peace. You're like, what's going on? You're like, I can't explain it. That's the peace of God that goes beyond all understanding. So you go, I'm filled with worry, I'm filled with fear, I'm filled with all these things. That's not from God. That's not from God. What God gives is peace. This morning, I want to remind you, as we've said from the very, very beginning, our peace at Friendship is not found in how big our buildings are, how many people that come, how much we have in offering, or how well people know us. That's not our peace. In fact, often the more things that you have, the more difficult peace is to find. Our peace is found in knowing the fact that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. Our peace is found in knowing that no matter what happens, that God can transform it, God can change it, God can take what was meant for evil and make it the greatest blessing that you've ever experienced in your life. That's our source of peace. So we know that no matter how bad it may get, the morning always comes because God's in control. So this morning, my challenge to you is to listen to the voice of God. Maybe God is speaking to you. Maybe the thing that God is speaking to you is that you need to alter your work schedule. Maybe that's what God's speaking to you. Now, I want to remind you, it's very, very clear. The Bible says that we are supposed to work hard for 6 days and then rest on the seventh. So Take that in perspective. It doesn't mean you don't work. It means that you don't forget to rest, because resting gives you the ability to continue to work. But maybe God's calling you to alter your work schedule. You're like, well, I just can't. I can't do it. If I don't work 80 hours a week, there's no way that I can become this, this, and this. Remember, it's not all about you. You can't get to where you're going without God. And if you keep doing what you're doing, you're running right past the blessings that God has for you. And eventually you're going to look back and go, where did I go wrong? Maybe God's calling you to intentionally insert more downtime. More time where you don't have anything planned. Plan to not plan. Those of you that are planners, you have an itch on the back of your eyeball right now that you cannot scratch. But maybe you need to plan time where there's nothing planned. Because you just need to let the spontaneity of God and the spontaneity of your relationships take over. Because God's called you to that. Maybe God's called you to simply enjoy your family. Oh, you don't know my kids. Let me tell you something. Run them like crazy in the backyard for a few hours and just come in and go, here's a Benadryl. And that's all you have to do. Kidding, I'm kidding. So like, I'm going to call CPS on him. Enjoy your family. They're only going to be there for a while. They're only going to be there for a while. And they're gone. Like, they're so frustrating. Enjoy the frustration, because someday you're going to look back and go, I wish I was frustrated with them, but I can't be, because they're not here. Enjoy them. But whatever the case may be, I want to challenge you to make the decision to say, I want God's best. I want God's best, so I'm going to rest. Father, we thank you so much for giving us not only the command, but the privilege of resting. God, it's hard. I'm not going to lie. It's hard for me from a leadership standpoint, from someone who loves to strategize and look into the future and come up with plans and ideas, to stand before a group of people who are going, hey, what's next? And to say, well, I think next is rest. That's hard. But I believe it's true. God, I believe that that's what you've called us to be and you've called us to do. So God, in the quietness of this moment, if we're struggling with that, I pray that we would embrace the truth that our resting produces your blessing. And God, whatever area that we need to rest, help us find the rest. Help us see it. Help us embrace it. Help us live in it. We thank you for this. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.